You're listening to Gerald Fleury and the Key of David on 101.3 KPCG and online at kpcg.fm.
Greetings, everyone. This whole world is deceived about Bible prophecy. How can we understand Bible prophecy? Well, when Jesus Christ was on this earth, He gave us the focal point of prophesied events on the Olivet or in the Olivet prophecy. And that is Matthew 20, chapter 24, and Mark chapter 13, and Luke chapter 21. Three versions of that. But Matthew 24 is the greatest prophecy that Christ gave when He was on this earth. The greatest single prophecy. Now, it is everything sort of pivots around Matthew 24. If you want to understand Bible prophecy, Christ talked about the sign of His second coming. There's a sign that you can see about His second coming and when it's going to be, or the sign of the end of this age. He gave signs, and He wants us to read those signs and understand when these prophecies are going to be fulfilled. We all should want to do that. But anyhow, this prophecy in Matthew 24 discusses the sign of his second coming and the end of the age that we're now living in, the end of this evil world that we're a part of today. Matthew 16, verses 16 and 17. And there was confusion about Christ's identity here. And Jesus asked Peter, "Well, I know these other people are confused about who I am, but who do you think I am, Peter? Who do you think I am?" Notice how Peter answered that. "And Simon Peter answered and said, 'You are the Christ, the Son of the living God.' And Jesus answered and said unto him, 'Blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed it unto you, but my Father which is in heaven.'" Now, that's a giant lesson there that human beings need to learn, that flesh and blood did not reveal to Simon Peter who Christ was. It was something beyond flesh and blood, beyond the five senses that revealed that to Peter, and yet it's a lesson that we really haven't learned in this world, that is the Christian world anyhow. But Peter understood that deeply, and that's, of course, one of the big reasons why Christ put him in charge of the church physically. Of course, Christ always leads the church spiritually if it's His true church. But He also has a physical leader that He appoints, as He did the Apostle Peter. But he says here that we're talking about and discussing what God reveals, what God has to reveal. He has to reveal Bible prophecy to us if we're going to understand it. Notice Luke 21 and verse 36, still a part of the Olivet prophecy. And he was speaking about world events in our generation, this end time generation, and he warned us to do this. That is, Christ did it when he was on this earth. Notice what he said. "Watch you therefore and pray always that you may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man." Now he's saying here, when he says watch, he means watch world events. What do you know about world events? What do I know about world events? Not local events, but world events. And if we don't understand that, we don't understand Bible prophecy. And a little sidebar here is, if you want to escape all these things, you'd better understand this. You better understand. You better watch world events. But there's more to it than that. But we do have to watch world events if we're going to understand Bible prophecy. We must do that. Notice what Mr. Herbert Armstrong wrote years ago. He said, "Unless one understands biblical prophecy, knows God's purpose, he does not really know what to look for, what is vital, what is not. He cannot really understand world news or where it is leading. He's just saying, look, you can't understand world events unless you understand Bible prophecy. And if you understand Bible prophecy, he said, then you'll know God's purpose. You'll know God, and you'll know God's purpose. So this is a deep subject. When you think about it, we also have to know God and His purpose. What is God's purpose? And why do we have all these problems in the world? What does it mean for you? God says there's a sign there. There's a sign in all of this. If we'll just read the sign. But almost nobody does, because they won't follow the formula that God has given them to understand Bible prophecy. So we have to do more than just watch world events. We have to, as Peter demonstrated, we have to know who Christ is and where He is. You think everybody knows who Christ is? You think most Christians know who Christ is? Well, let's let Christ answer that from the Olivet Prophecy in Matthew 24. Notice Matthew 24 and verse 3. And as He sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto Him privately, saying, tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of Your coming and of the end of the world, or the end of this evil satanic world, and the beginning of a new world ruled by Christ? They wanted to know. These are earth-shaking events. If you don't know this, you don't understand Bible prophecy. And so they asked some very basic questions that we all should ask and understand. Notice verse 4, and Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in My name, saying, I am Christ, or I Christ am Christ. They're going to say, I'm Christ, and shall deceive many. In other words, they'll talk about the personality of Jesus Christ, but they won't give you His message. They won't give you His biblical prophecy. That's what it's talking about. God, Jesus Christ taught when He was on this earth that the whole world would be deceived about Him. And if you don't understand Him, you'll never understand Bible prophecy. And then the Father has to reveal where He is and where He's working, as demonstrated by Peter. But many, many, the majority, are not going to know who Jesus Christ is. They're going to follow a phony Christ, frankly. That's what Christ is saying. The many, the great majority, are deceived about that. So we're going to have to get beyond the surface knowledge if we're going to understand Bible prophecy. Now, He discussed the end of the age and the end of the world, even the end of Satan's world. That's what it is. But if you really go out today and talk about the end of the world or the end of this age, this evil world of the devil, and then this world worships the devil, 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 4, you're going to have some people say, well, that must be a cult. But Jesus Christ discussed the end of the world or the end of the age repeatedly. Why is it we don't hear more about that? It's in this book. It's in the book. And it's easy to find if you read the Olivet Prophecy. So again, you see, you can't understand Bible prophecy if you don't know Jesus Christ and where He is. Notice Matthew 11 and verse 23, we can see what the problem is and why these people didn't understand and why the world today does not understand Jesus Christ, know who He is and what His message is. They talk about the personality. They don't talk about the message, what He taught, the biblical prophecy, if you will. Verse 23 of Matthew 11, and you, Capernaum, this is a wealthy resort area, and listen to what Christ says to them. You, and you, Capernaum, which are exalted into heaven, shall be brought down to Hades, it should read, for if the mighty works which have been done in you had been done in Sodom, it would have remained until this day. Well, how about that? If Sodom and Gomorrah had heard the news that the Jews heard, they would have repented. But the Jews didn't. And now that's really what the whole world is, or how the whole world has reacted, not just the Jews. This is human nature in action, especially from wealthy people. Verse 24, but I say unto you that it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for you. And at that time Jesus answered and said, I thank you, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hid these things from the wise and prudent and have revealed them unto babes. Now that's astounding. Do you mean to tell me that God would actually hide Bible prophecy from people because they're vain and arrogant and full of pride? Well, that's what he says here. Unless you become like a babe, a little child, then I'm not going to reveal this to you. I'm not going to do it. I'm going to hide it from you. Do you see God as these words are I'm discussing today? Imagine God hiding the truth from people because they won't receive it in the right spirit. And you can read Matthew 18, verses 1 through 3, where it says, He said, I say unto you, except you be converted and become as little children. Become that way. We're not that way. We're not like little children. We have to fight that all the time. We're not like little children, where we're teachable and want God to teach us like a little child, if it's trained properly, wants its parents to teach them. They want to be taught, and they're trained, if they're trained properly, to receive that teaching. Listen, this is something that we have to become if we're going to understand Bible prophecy. We're going to have to get ourselves out of the way and quit being vain and arrogant. Human nature is hard. Romans 8 and verse 7 says that it is enmity toward God, or even, that means hatred toward God. That's just natural human nature to turn away from God. And we have to overcome that. It isn't natural to be like a little child and listen to God. It isn't natural. What we're talking about here is not natural. It's something, if we're going to be converted, that means changing what we are to the unnatural. That's what it means. So let's take a closer look at this and understand Bible prophecy. Notice Matthew 24 and verse 15. When you therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place. Whoso reads, let him understand. So here's the abomination of desolation. Now he wants us to understand, and the Greek word there is noeo, which means to perceive with the mind, to think upon, heed, ponder, consider. It means to go beyond the five senses. That's what it means. So this is not something we can just take casually. If we can't just casually approach this and understand Bible prophecy. It goes beyond that. Because it has to be revealed to us, and God will only reveal it to a certain attitude of mind, a very humble attitude. And that takes changing. That takes some changing in all of us, and certainly myself. It takes some changing so that God can teach us. And He does so want to do that, and that's why He's allowing all this suffering in the world to get this world to become childlike, to humble them, and so they'll be childlike and He can finally teach them. When Christ returns, they're going to be ready to be taught. And that return is all, the sign is already there for that return, and it's coming in a very short amount of time. His return is imminent. And I mean that literally. I'm not just fantasizing here, but if you want to understand what that abomination is, we have a booklet that will explain it to you, and it's really just a matter of putting quite a lot of scriptures together, but we have a booklet on the Holy Roman Empire that proves from your own Bible what it is and what it's going to do in this end time. Notice Luke 21 and verse 20. And when you shall see Jerusalem compassed with armies, then know that the desolation, that's the abomination of desolation. This is Luke's version of Matthew 24 and verse 15. Know that the desolation thereof is near. They are armies surrounding Jerusalem, and it's not the Arab armies, but it's European armies of all things. And it's surrounding Jerusalem. And it's called in the Bible the abomination of desolation. Do you know what that is? Because you see, really, we have to understand this because Christ said in Matthew 24 and verse 15, understand this. You that read, understand it. It's there to understand. It's not there for us to be deceived about. Are we willing to understand? Are we willing to let Christ teach us? Remember, they killed him. They didn't accept what he taught, to their own shame and to the shame of all humanity, frankly, because that we continue to do that in our deeds, in our actions. Verse 22, for these be the days of vengeance, that all things which are written may be fulfilled. All things. I mean, you look around in this world, I'm telling you today, all things are being fulfilled. All things, all prophecies. It talks about Jerusalem being trodden down. Goes on in verse 36, and that's where it says, watch therefore and pray always that you may be accounted worthy to escape these things. God says, look, I'll give you protection, but you better pray always. You better pray always, and you better watch world events, or you'll be caught up in this cataclysmic event called the Great Tribulation and the Day of the Lord, and at the end of the Day of the Lord, the Messiah comes. Many scriptures tell you that, at least 35 or 40 tell you that. And look, I have to be honest with you that when I give a program on, let's say, something overseas that is happening overseas or in another country, the response does go down. And I know why that is. I know it's because people don't have an interest of what is happening outside their own country like they should. We all have to expand our interest there. I do too. But look, Christ said, watch world events. Watch and pray always that you'll understand those and know the God that answers your prayers. And know where Christ is, the Son of God, and where He's working today, and where He's leading His church today. He's the head of that church, always. And He told you that in Matthew 16, verse 18, that He would build His church, and it would never be destroyed. That's because He's the head of it. He's not about to let that happen. God warns us, though, to watch world events. The prophet Ezekiel adds a critical piece to this puzzle that I want to just briefly talk to you about, because Ezekiel was a captive. He was a prisoner when his country, Judah, or the Jews, were taken captive and taken to Babylon, and he was on the river Kebar there, but he prophesied to the house of Israel in his book. And yet he was taken captive with the Jews, and he stayed there, and he couldn't go to Israel. But he gave us prophecy about the house of Israel for the end time. What Judah went through was only a type of what was coming upon the nations of Israel in this end time. And if you don't know who they are, you need our book on the United States and Britain and prophecy, and it will explain all of that to you with great clarity. It surely will. So what Ezekiel is saying here is, and we have a booklet on Ezekiel, and it will prove that to you, that there has to be a modern day type of Ezekiel, or the message won't be delivered. Ezekiel couldn't deliver it. And Ezekiel wasn't even a watchman. And notice, he talks about a watchman. He couldn't be a watchman. He was a prisoner in that captivity. Notice verse 7 of Ezekiel 33. "So you, O son of man, I have set you for a watchman unto the house of Israel." He's going to them first, because that's, they're going to be struck by the great tribulation first. "Therefore you shall hear the word at my mouth, and warn them from me." Now, these are words from God's own mouth. He's talking about, I'll give you new revelation. I'll give you new understanding. I'll give you, son of man, this modern day Ezekiel, I'll give you my message that comes right out of my mouth. And you'd better have the courage to get out there and deliver it, because if you don't, their blood is on your head. That's what he's saying. Now, the prophecy is revealed to a watchman, somebody who understands world events and warns about what is coming and what Christ told them and prophesied would happen. And of course, he inspired the whole Bible. But let me ask you a question now. If you think about this, he's not talking about watchmen. He's talking about a watchman. And here's the biggest stumbling block of all. Well, now, wait a minute. Are you telling me that this watchman of God is the only one that will deliver God's message? Well, that's what God says in His Bible and in these end time prophecies. You have to find God, and then you'll find God's watchman. But it's all about God. It's not about man. First, you have to find God. And if you don't, if you look to men, you're under a curse, it says in Jeremiah 17, verse 5. But God does use a man to get His message out to this world. And it is a message that ought to be just thundered to this world, because it's the most suffering ever on this earth that's about to come upon us. And we can escape that, Luke said, if we watch and pray always. Now, that we have to do something. This watchman, the Gesenius Bible Study Aid says about the word watchman, to look out, bending forward in order to view. The watchman strains and stretches to understand this message and then warn what God says. And it doesn't make any difference how many people oppose that. God says, you either warn them or their blood is on your head. And you can see in verse 33 of Ezekiel 7, he goes on to talk about people hearing the message and liking the voice, but they don't do it. And then he says, this is going to come to pass. Lo, it will come. Verse 33, and then shall you know that a prophet has been among them. Oh, then you'll know there's a prophetic message after all these terrible things come to pass. Behold, it is coming, one translation says. When all this comes to pass, you see, everybody's going to know, well, hey, that really was a watchman delivering God's message, not his own. He delivered God's message. Now, he reveals it only to one watchman. So says your Bible. Notice one final scripture in Ezekiel 2 in verses 3 and 4. This is, I'll read that to you. And he said unto me, son of man, I send you to the children of Israel, to a rebellious nation. It actually should be nations, because in this end time, there are 12 nations of Israel. That wasn't true when Ezekiel wrote. That has rebelled against me. They and their fathers have transgressed against me, even unto this very day. But for they are impudent children and stiff-hearted, I do send you unto them. God sends you, the watchman, unto them. This is God's doing. And you shall say unto them, thus says the Lord God. You see, thus says the Lord God. How can the watchman be silent when God says, look, this is right out of my mouth. Now you go and you say to them, thus saith the Lord, not a man, not a human being, not something from the five senses, but something out of the mouth of God, that this is coming to pass. He says, shout it out, cry aloud, and tell my people of their sins. We're not going to purr the message. We're not going to be soft and dainty and soothing, because that's not what we should do in our speaking and our writing. We can't do that. In verse 35 of Luke 21, Christ said, as a snare shall it come upon all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. You see, and if you look at Isaiah and some other prophecies, it talks about the voice. Isaiah 40, the voice that is going to say, behold your God, Christ is about to return to this earth. There is a sign in all these troubles that he's about to return. Until next week, this is Gerald Flurry. Goodbye, friends.
For more information on today's program, request our two free booklets on Ezekiel and Joel, along with our free reprint article on Matthew 24. Both Ezekiel and Joel talk about prophesied events that are soon to spring upon America, Britain, and the Jews in the Middle East. All of these prophecies pivot around Christ's central prophecy in Matthew 24. Today's free literature will give you a deeper understanding of what these prophecies are and how they'll be delivered. Ezekiel says that when these prophesied events come to pass, then people will know that a prophet was among them. Don't wait till it's too late. Request our free literature today and prove it to yourself from your own Bible. You'll also be sent a free subscription to our news magazine, The Philadelphia Trumpet. The Trumpet will continue to give you in-depth, Bible-based analysis of today's most relevant headlines. A one-year subscription is free upon request. This month's issue features Gerald Flurry's article, The Most Shameful Phone Call in American History. Please also visit us online at thetrumpet.com for daily articles, videos, and headlines. Your free subscription to The Trumpet magazine, along with today's free booklets and reprint article, are waiting for you. Please call our operators now to request today's free literature. To request the free literature, call toll-free 1-800-339-7629. Again, that's 1-800-339-7629. To watch the program online, visit us at keyofdavid.com. If you would prefer to write for today's free literature, send your request to The Key of David, Post Office Box 3700, Edmond, Oklahoma 73083.